Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, barely standing 5 foot 4 inches and weighing a petite 105 pounds, it's Mrs. Jolton J. Martin. And in the other corner, towering at 6 feet 4 inches and weighing in at 230 pounds, it's Mr. Marvelous
This doesn't seem very fair.
Oh, honey, that hurts.
All right, dealing with disagreement in marriage, I hope it doesn't ever come to blows, certainly. But sometimes it can come to verbal blows. It can certainly come to silence and hiding out and not getting on the same page. I'll tell you what, Satan loves disagreements. They're a part of life. They're going to happen. It's a reality. But how do you deal with them in a healthy way in your marriage? I do welcome you to Intentional Living Center here at the beginning of the week. We're focusing on disagreements in marriage. Disagreements are a part of life. And I think it's to lay it out on the table here, let's talk about what a disagreement really is. Whenever you have the prefix, the letters D-I-S, dis, in front of anything, it really means a resisting force. When you think about it, like disrespect is what? It's the negative force that goes on when you're trying to respect one another, disrespect. Or the word discouraged, when you think about discouraged, what is that? That's the resisting force that keeps us from having courage in our life. You're discouraged. It takes away your courage. And so what is it when we talk about disagreement? Well, it's the resisting force, whatever that may be, spiritual, emotional, experiential, gender, age, whatever, but it's the resisting force that keeps you and your spouse from coming to terms and agreeing with one another. And one of the most powerful things that you can do in your marriage is come to an agreement. I believe that one of the reasons we have financial problems in our marriage is because we don't agree. One of the reasons we have parenting problems, because we don't agree. One of the reasons we have a lack of intimacy to be able to work through things in our marriage is because we don't come to an agreement. There's something powerful about agreement. And unless we're willing to problem solve together, and we have a little process that I'll talk about this half hour that'll be helpful to you, unless we can problem solve together and come to agreement, even if it's an agreement to disagree on some things, what'll happen is there'll be this constant tension that occurs in marriage. And some of you are facing that. You've been through it. And, you know, some of you just take the approach of saying, I'm just not going to bring it up anymore. So we ask on Facebook, how do you deal with disagreement in your marriage? And John, I think with a smile on his face said, I just say, yes, dear. You know, now that may be okay on things that don't matter, but on things that do matter, that isn't the solution. It can be, yes, dear, but then what? Now what? And then Angie, I think also with a tongue-in-cheek, said, I try to explain to him how I am right and he's wrong. I think we do that too. So how is it you've worked through disagreements? I mean, come on. How do you do that? What have you done? How have you been intentional in working through disagreements? Or maybe you're stuck right now. Give us a call. 888-1717.
Hey, Dr. Randy, this is Sonia from Alabama. Listen to your show every day in the afternoon. Just wanted to thank you for being on and for pointing out all the ways that we can be intentional. As far as our marriage goes, my husband and I, we haven't been married very long, but one of the biggest things is we go through these cycles where we'd have a conflict and we try to solve it, and it just wouldn't work. It was always a lose-lose situation. So recently we started going to counseling, and it has helped point out a lot of things, and we've started working on lifting up our marriage and being just very intentional about making this work and doing what God would have us to do. And just wanted to say thank you and have a blessed week.
You're very welcome. We're glad to be here today and every day for you, Intentional Living. Let's go to Kara, or Kara. Is it Kara or Kara?
Kara.
Kara, welcome to the program.
Hi.
What's your question on this disagreement topic today?
You know, it's more parenting. We have a seventh grader who is a horrible student. And I'm stepmom, by the way. And we've spent lots of time and money on tutors and programs and everything we can think of to try to encourage him to be a better student. And we're kind of at that point where his mother and stepfather think that we're too hard on him.
Well,
I don't really know that it's a question. It's a, I need more advice.
Well, you're saying mom and stepdad. Now, are you and your husband in agreement?
Yeah.
That didn't sound too convincing.
He's more lax than I am.
All right, so you have your own expectations of how this thing should come down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they're not necessarily the same as your husband's.
I think he would take the easy way out.
All right.
And does.
Well, see, we move from, it was the ex-spouse and the, you know, that's not the issue. It sounds like it's you and your husband. And I really would, I would encourage you, Kara, to say, hey, we don't have a parenting problem here. You got a marriage problem. You got a disagreement in your marriage, not with your seventh grader. And by the way, I would just encourage you think about it, he's a horrible student. Boy, I'd be really careful in not communicating that. I think these young people, they get a lot of discouragement today, a lot of pressure. And I find out a lot of middle schoolers and kids that are going to high school, if they can just latch on to one thing that really turns their crank, that they're excited about, that the way God has wired them, that can be very positive. But, Carol, here's the thing. What I hear is that you and your husband have a disagreement on how you're to handle this thing with your son. And I heard money come up. Does it sound like you're spending a lot of money and time trying to help him, and you're getting a little tired of it?
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah. And he's saying, hey, we got to keep trying.
No. It's me keep trying and him like, well, he'll flunk. That's just the facts. And it is.
Well, I would encourage you. Talk about disagreement. You want to have a happy home, got to get on the same page. You know, there's a little verse in the Old Testament that says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Amos 3:3. And as parents, man, we've got to get on the same page and understand that we're in this together. Now, in this case, having a blended family, I'm going to say what we've said for 20 years around here. Your job is to support your husband in raising his son. And I think you need to back off and say, honey, this is, you know, your responsibility. I'm here. I'll support you. I'd put the ball in his court. It's not your responsibility to step up. And I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to say, well, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done, is what you're going to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Well, I think you need to back off with a lot of loving support to your husband and say, honey, I'll tell you what, this is causing a problem between us, and I don't want a problem between us having to do with your son. And I'm here to help you and encourage you and support you and help you do the best job you can. But here's what's happened. Your seventh grader has created a disagreement in your marriage. And if I were you, I would turn to your husband and let him take the lead. And if he doesn't, you just have to back off and support him. Ultimately, yeah. And if you want to have that relationship with your stepson, to sit down with him and say, honey, look, I know you're smart. I know you can do this. It's going to be your decision if you want to succeed or not. I'm here. I'm willing to help you. But, you know, I'm not going to stand over you. I'm not going to hover over you. I'm not going to tell you everything you got to do. I'm not going to pick up all the broken pieces of life. But if there's things I can help you with, and if you need some assistance, I'm here for you because I love you. But I think the best gift you guys can give to this young man is agreement together and a lot of confidence that he can do it. And I don't hear that in your voice. I don't think you have confidence he can do it.
I think he can, but he's not been allowed to. You know what I mean? Like, everything's been done for him, and so now it's getting to the point where we don't know how to do things either. You know, like math, for instance.
Well, again, if a child needs help, we're available. Teachers, you can have sometimes tutors that step in. The parents are available, but talking about encouragement. You know, we talked about discouragement. A lot of kids get discouraged. They lose courage. Give them a lot of confidence. But I'd encourage you and your husband to get on the same page.
All right. So what is the biggest disagreement you've had in your marriage? on how to discipline the kids and what's the right way to do that. You know, I had to tend to have a stoic view of raising the kids where my wife's was more relationship oriented. So we had to, it took us a while to come into agreement with what we should do. A long while.
The biggest disagreement we've had is trying to both meet our career goals and come together and have that be a part of both of our lives without it drawing conflict.
Boy, this is good stuff. Hey, thank you for calling, telling us what you're facing. Facebook, interesting. David makes an interesting point on Facebook. He says, personally, when asked the question here about how do you deal with disagreements in your marriage, he says, I have to admit, not very well. He says, when I stand my ground, I am usually wrong in the end. Also, when I give in, I wind up being right. All we can do is live with the decisions that we make as a couple and always try to move forward with faith and love. I think some of that is, you know, our own perspective on things. When things are successful, not successful, I think we all sort of look at decisions and say, humanly speaking, when we make a decision my way, it's going to be right, you know? But I'll tell you what, David, I think you point out the fact that for couples, we need to sit down together and talk about decisions because life just happens. My wife and I, we're at a stage now, you know, the kids are raised, we got grandbabies and excited about babies still to come in the weeks and months ahead. But now what for us in our stage and looking at making decisions together? And I think every stage, every decade of life has new decisions, new challenges, new opportunities. But we got to talk about those things, work them through. All right, let's go to Texas. Darlene is in the great state of Texas today. Hi, Darlene.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. Thank you. Appreciate your call. What's your question for me?
It's actually not a question. I'm actually in the stage of life that you and your wife are in. Me and my husband have been married 32 years. Mm-hmm. We have two grown children and four grandchildren. And one of the things that we've learned along the way is to give the other person space if it's really volatile or really intense arguing, that we allow each other to back off and have our own personal space until God can get in there and kind of get into our heads. And one of the things that we do is we pray for each other. If that happens, if we're just at a point where we're not agreeing, it's just causing more damage than good, then we'll step back for about an hour or two, and we'll just like, God, give me your thoughts on this situation. God, help him to see what you see, you know, or instead of blaming that person, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, your thoughts, your emotions are all wrong, and you need to change to suit me, we step back and say, what do you think about this, God? And every single time he gives us a solution or that type of thing. So I would highly recommend not being discouraged about ongoing battles that you seem like you're on a merry-go-round about, but actually just step back and be quiet.
That's
and
good.
Just kind of say, you know, what can I hear or see differently and handle it differently? Because I think we get into these trigger modes where that person is like attacking, so we just turn them off, and we're not even listening anymore, you know. So it's not being effective anyway.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, and so the control knob, how you feel about that person, you think that person makes me, or you want to blame them, but actually they're not responsible for your happiness. You're responsible for your own happiness. And any situation or person trying to come at you, actually, it's just, if it wasn't that person or that situation, it would be another one, so that you can mature your spirit and be strengthened in God.
Well, what you've done, Darlene, is you've done two things here, really important. And by the way, that's why you've been married 32 years. That's why you've made it 32 years. You did two things, and if we can get this across today on this thing of disagreements, be careful when you have a disagreement with your spouse not to take a position too soon. What I mean is let's say you're talking about parenting, and you and your spouse are disagreeing about, you know, how to deal with your teenage son or daughter. And it's easy for either of us in a marriage to step up and say, well, I think we should do this, this, and this, and we take a position on it. And by human nature, once we take a position on anything, we have to defend it, right? I mean, we do that at a national level. We do it as countries. We do it politically. We do it in our faith. We do it in our community. We do it in our home and our family. And so it would be better, like Darlene is saying, hey, can we just back off a little bit, pray about this, seek God, and before we come to some conclusion on what we should do, let's agree that we want to come to a conclusion together. What happens in marriage so often is each person in the marriage, the husband and the wife, take positions that are slightly different. And then it's a matter of having to humble yourself to say, I'm wrong and you're right. Come on, let's face it. And that's hard to do in marriage. That's just hard to do. What's a lot easier is what Darlene is saying to us. Stop, pray, come to the fact that we want to come to some agreement or even agree to disagree, but we want to do it agreeably. And as simple as that sounds, I just caution you, take care in not taking a position too soon. Secondly, what you've done, Darlene, is obedience to what Paul says in Ephesians 4. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, he says. And it's easy to take disagreement, allow it to flip into anger, and in the process, it is very destructive. Fantastic. Darlene, you added much to the program today. Very intentional. Thank you. Thank you for the call. So love habits of couples living on purpose. Number five, they pray for each other. You know, do we pray for our spouse? Scripture says that a prayer of a righteous man or woman will avail much. There's a spiritual dynamic that occurs when we pray for our spouse. Lord, today I want you to just bless Donna. How can I pray that prayer and then be mad at her 2 minutes later? I think it's impossible. When we're willing to pray for it and lift up our spouse, that God will protect them, be with them, guide them through the day, that changes us and our spirit as much as what God is going to do in changing maybe the situation or circumstances in their life. There's something powerful about that. The love habit of prayer, life-changing, certainly changing marriages. One of the top 10 lists on the love habits of couples who are living on purpose and living intentionally. It's the teaching for this month, and members, it's on its way to you if it maybe already has arrived in your home. Thank you for your continued, faithful, ongoing financial support for the Intentional Living Ministry. And you're thinking, well, I missed out. How can I be a part of it? You can always join in support and become a member and receive the teaching yourself, be on the team, and join us on this exciting life journey by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. When you're there, click on the donate button and you can sign up very easily. Or if you'd rather talk to one of our staff personally to do this, you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And when you do, press number 4, it'll take you to our staff. You know, I was thinking about Darlene we talked to in Texas just a little bit ago. She and her husband really relating to this power of prayer, the fact that you got to step back sometimes. And I did my intentional minute for this month on video, by the way, streaming online on Facebook and other places on YouTube. And I mentioned that something supernatural happens when you do this one thing. And then I went on to say this was the power of prayer. What was interesting is as I watched the number of views on that particular video, it was the highest so far in the month. Something supernatural happens when you do this one thing. And then I said, it's to pray for your spouse. And I think it was so highly viewed because it's so highly understood to be a powerful part of making a marriage work. So if it's not something that's a part of your routine now in your marriage, I would encourage it to become a priority. And maybe your spouse is not one who prays or even has a spiritual inclination. That doesn't mean you can't pray. In fact, pray even more so in terms of loving your spouse and asking God to move in your relationship. So again, I want to thank our members. Thank you for joining us. If you're not a member, again, come and be a part of it today. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. If you have a comment about today's program or you have something you'd like to share for an upcoming program, maybe you have a question that God's been really laying on your heart about your marriage, your family, your life, you'd like to have me and others address in an upcoming program, you're always welcome to share with us at theintentionallife.com or best to call 888-888-1717 and press number 2.
You know, that box of electronics is a radio.
No, it's not.
No, I mean that stuff can connect you to stuff you really need.
Okay, totally confused.
For example, that tablet, put the Intentional Living app on there, boom. Works for smartphones too, or that mouse. Just use it to connect the computer or laptop to theintentionallife.com.
And Intentional Living has the stuff I need?
You can hear the programs again. Get connected, grow your faith.
Okay, I'll plug in the mouse again. You download the app on these five devices.
Here's one secret that parents have found really works in loving their kids. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Minute. Here it is, volume matters. Have you ever found as a parent that when the volume goes up in talking to your kids or trying to get your kids' attention, that effectiveness tends to go down? You know, the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 9:17 that the words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. I don't think that's a parenting verse, but it ought to be, because it's a verse that reminds us that our volume matters. Try for the next 30 days to lower your volume and be intentional in how you communicate with your kids and even with your spouse. All right, one thing, don't raise your voice for 30 days unless there's a fire in the house. That's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
It's time to take charge. No more surprises, no more confusion, no more negativity or isolation. It's time to take charge of your Facebook experience with Intentional Living.
And intentional is the key word here. On Intentional Living's Facebook page, you can connect with Dr. Randy and other listeners. Post your stories, comments, and questions. Keep up with the daily shows, topics, and guests. You know, stuff you can do intentionally so you can grow and know you're not alone. Click like at facebook.com/intentionalliving.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
Thank you, Kurt. This is Intentional Living, and I'm Randy Carlson. Live intentionally. You ready? It'll change your life. There really is, you know, you got two choices. Let's simplify this. You can either live unintentionally, just getting by, doing whatever happens, you know, whatever you feel, or however you've done it, habits. Or you can choose to say, you know, I think God wants me to be a little more intentional. You do that, change your life. Talking about disagreement here, Sheila's in Texas. Hi there, Sheila.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Appreciate your call. What's your comment on this today?
Well, you know, I sit here and I listen to people having disagreements with their spouses, and, you know, I have to say, you know, I have a lot to say. I talk a lot, but disagreements between the husband and wife, you know, as long as the husband and the wife are living a Christ-centered life, the man scripturally has final say. Of course, obviously, God does, but in the household of man and woman, the man has final say. Now, I will deny this to my husband till my dying breath, but... When, you know, if we have a disagreement, he has final say. Now, that is, taking that into consideration, we don't usually have disagreements because the Holy Spirit that lives within me lives within him. And if we're both in tune to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's saying, which should have dominion over every aspect of our life and every decision we make, the Holy Spirit will not contradict itself in me or in him.
Well, absolutely.
The conflict really shouldn't be happening.
Absolutely. And what you're talking about is the order that God intends. It's laid out. We should be living in an orderly society, in an orderly world. But, you know, there's a scripture that supports what you're saying, Sheila, and it's Ephesians 5:21, that we are to be mutually submissive one to another. Smart men listen to their wives and don't have to be the boss. That's not good leadership. All right. Thank you, Sheila. Quickly, I only have a minute, Ray, but... What's your comment on this topic from Arizona?
My comment would be is, you got to remember, you're the perfect parent for your child, and your child's the perfect child for you.
Mm.
And you got to allow, they're a gift from God, and you got to allow them to enable you to grow and mature into what God has called you to be.
Well, when you think about it, you know, we've raised three kids, my wife and I, and now have grandchildren. The molding aspect of raising three kids was a profound experience. You know, you don't go through 25 years of raising kids, basically, without learning a lot about yourself, your strengths and your weaknesses, knowing where the stress points are in your marriage and in your own attitude and your own mind. And it's a great reminder, Ray. God gave us the family that we have. Now let's be intentional with it and thank God for it. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate your call today.
Hi, my name is Joe. I was calling in regards to the avoidance of escalating arguments within my marriage. I think what has helped me the most is to realize that once my wife becomes argumentative past a certain point at which there doesn't seem to be any specific reason, immediate reason, for that level of argumentativeness, that that's a very clear indication that what she's concerned about, what is hurting her, is probably nothing to do with what she's complaining about. And that it's going to require some detective work on my part to elicit, you know, what it is that is the root cause. And once we get to that place, the real discussion begins in earnest. That point. It's only taken me about 30 years to figure that out. So, God bless it. I hope somebody can use that. See you, bye.
Yeah, I think you're doing pretty well after 30 years. Most guys never figure that out. So the fact only took you 30, you're on the top half. You're in the standard deviation. You're out about one standard deviation on that one. So it's good for you. A sensitive, caring, thoughtful, thinking kind of a guy, but very right. He's very true that sometimes the things that we get angry about, the things that we focus on that seem so important, really are just hiding something bigger going on in our life. You know, the research is pretty clear that if you want to have a good marriage, one of the steps is learning how to de-escalate arguments. And sometimes you have to be able to say, let me think about that. Can we get back and talk about it a little bit later? Can I pray about that and come back? Because I see that's really important to you. Or you can ask for clarification. Does this mean this? Or can you tell me a little more so I can understand? But whenever we put up our defenses and we try to protect or defend our position, it immediately can go south. And so it's a difficult thing to do when you feel attacked, but to really truly listen, it can be a gift in your marriage. Just a thought. Hey, we're wrapping up today, and speaking of marriage, we have the Love Your Marriage Night, the entire Intentional Living Conference, as a gift to you for your best gift to the ministry right now. We'd love to get it to you. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com and click on donate. Thanks for doing so. See you next time from Intentional Living.